Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Mel Dorman's Bank on Your Neighbor A People, First Real Estate Strategy to Build Wealth Together, is a contemporary real estate and personal finance guide centered on seller, financing, creative acquisition, and community-based wealth building. Drawing on Dorman's public work as a former social worker, real estate investor, and financial activist, the book positions direct agreements between buyers and property sellers as an alternative to exclusive dependence on conventional mortgage lenders. Its purpose is not simply to teach readers how to obtain rental property with less bank financing. It also asks who benefits when real estate transactions are structured around trust, flexibility, and mutually negotiated terms. The book addresses readers who may feel shut out by down payment requirements, lending rules, or the culture of competitive investing, while retaining a practical focus on deal structure and relationship building. Its distinctive premise is that real estate can be both an individual wealth-building tool and a local economic practice capital, payments, and opportunity can remain more closely connected to the people and neighborhood involved in a transaction. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, seller financing as a direct alternative to conventional mortgage lending. The book's central mechanism is seller financing, an arrangement in which the property seller provides financing to the buyer rather than requiring the buyer to obtain a standard bank mortgage for the full purchase price. Dorman presents this approach as a way to replace a one-size-fits-all lending process with terms negotiated around the actual needs of two parties. Depending on the agreement, those terms may address the down payment, interest rate, repayment period, timing, and the seller's desired income stream. The important point is not that seller financing eliminates cost or risk. It reallocates the role traditionally played by a lender into a contractual relationship between buyer and seller. For buyers, that can make an acquisition possible when conventional underwriting is a poor fit. For sellers, it can potentially create installment income or allow a sale to proceed on terms that better match their goals. This framing distinguishes the book from basic advice about qualifying for loans or saving for a conventional purchase. It treats financing as a negotiable part of the transaction rather than a fixed institutional prerequisite. Because both parties carry obligations, the strategy depends on clear documentation, realistic payment capacity, careful due diligence, and appropriate legal and tax advice. The book's people-first emphasis therefore rests on designing terms that are workable, not merely creative. Secondly, replacing financial gatekeeping with negotiated access to ownership. A major theme in Bank on Your Neighbor is the critique of financial gatekeeping, the idea that access to ownership and investment is often constrained by institutional credit, standards, accumulated cash, and familiarity with professional networks. Dorman's response is not presented as a claim that formal finance is unnecessary in every situation. Rather, she directs readers toward arrangements in which a prospective buyer can speak directly with a seller and explore a transaction beyond standard lending templates. This changes the practical question from, "Will a bank approve me?" to, "Can the parties identify a sound agreement that serves both of their interests?" That shift matters because it highlights skills that conventional personal finance guidance can understate communicating clearly. Understanding a seller's motivations, evaluating property economics, and honoring commitments over time. It also frames wealth building as an area where people can develop agency without waiting for institutional permission. At the same time, negotiated access is not automatic access. A seller must be willing, the property must support the proposed payments, and the buyer must be credible. The approach can fail when enthusiasm replaces analysis or when unequal knowledge produces unfair terms. Read analytically. The book's challenge to gatekeeping is strongest when paired with financial literacy, transparent disclosures, and contracts that protect both sides. Thirdly, community wealth building through local relationships and social capital. Dorman connects creative real estate finance to community wealth building, arguing that transactions can be structured so that economic benefit is not automatically routed through distant financial institutions. In this view, seller financing is not only a purchase technique, it is a relationship-based way to circulate opportunity among people who live, work, or invest in connected communities. The book's title captures this emphasis. Banking on a neighbor means recognizing trust, reputation, and shared interests as economically meaningful forms of social capital. This does not mean treating personal goodwill as a substitute for professional standards. Instead, it suggests that durable local relationships can widen the range of possible agreements when they are supported by candid communication and fair dealing. The community dimension also gives the book an ethical orientation absent from many purely return-focused investing manuals. A buyer's decisions about property condition, tenant relationships, payment reliability, and future resale affect more than a spreadsheet. They influence the people attached to the property and the neighborhood around it. The promise of local wealth retention should therefore be assessed alongside potential tensions, including power imbalances between experienced investors and vulnerable sellers. A genuinely people-first transaction requires informed consent and terms each party can understand. The book stands out for making those relational and distributive questions part of the conversation about real estate finance. Fourthly, creative deals require deal analysis, documentation, and risk discipline, although the book promotes routes outside conventional lending. Its practical value depends on readers' understanding that alternative financing does not remove the fundamental disciplines of real estate investing. A seller-financed acquisition still requires assessment of the property's condition, title, insurance needs, operating costs, taxes, repair exposure, rental income where relevant, and ability to make payments under less favorable conditions. Direct financing can add further complexity, because the parties must define responsibilities that a standardized lender process may otherwise address. For example, the agreement needs to make payment terms, default provisions, ownership transfer, maintenance obligations, and any existing debt clear. The search material associated with the book also identifies subject to transactions among its creative financing context. Such arrangements can be particularly complex because an existing loan may remain in place while the property changes hands, creating risks that should not be minimized. Dorman's broader message about accessible wealth building is most useful when readers treat these techniques as structured financial commitments rather than shortcuts. Independent legal, tax, and financial guidance is especially important because rules and consequences vary by jurisdiction and transaction. This risk-aware interpretation is compatible with the book's people-centered ethic: a deal cannot be called mutually beneficial if its key obligations are vague, its economics are unrealistic, or one party does not grasp the consequences of signing. Lastly, an ethical landlord and investor lens on real estate wealth creation. The book situates real estate investing within questions of economic justice, inclusion, and responsibility. Dorman's public description of the project emphasizes helping people who have been excluded from traditional pathways to wealth, and reader commentary has connected the book to the search for a more ethical approach to landlording. This is a meaningful distinction from books that treat property solely as an asset class. The People First lens asks investors to consider whether a transaction creates a viable outcome for the seller, buyer, residents, and surrounding community rather than measuring success only by leverage or appreciation. In practice, that orientation has limits. Ethical intent cannot guarantee that every purchase improves a neighborhood, and landlord-tenant dynamics remain shaped by affordability, maintenance, and unequal bargaining power. Still, the book's contribution is to make those questions explicit within a discussion of financing. Seller financing can be used responsibly or irresponsibly. Its ethical quality depends on the terms, the information available to each party, and conduct after closing. For readers, the implication is that community-centered investing requires more than friendly language. It entails maintaining properties, communicating honestly, planning for financial strain, and avoiding agreements that depend on another party's misunderstanding. By linking financial activism to concrete property transactions, Dorman broadens the definition of investor competence to include accountability, as well as deal-making. In conclusion, Bank on Your Neighbor will be most useful to aspiring investors, first-time buyers, and professionals interested in seller financing, but dissatisfied with the assumption that a conventional bank loan is the only legitimate path into real estate. It may also appeal to readers concerned with economic inclusion, ethical landlording, and the local consequences of property investment. Its practical benefit lies in reframing financing as something parties can negotiate directly, which can prompt readers to learn the communication, underwriting, and due diligence skills that creative transactions require. Its intellectual benefit is broader. It connects ownership structures to questions of power, trust, and where wealth accumulates. The book stands apart from many real estate investing guides because it combines creative financing education with an explicit community-centered and social justice-oriented perspective. Standard investing books often prioritize deal flow, leverage, tax efficiency, or portfolio scale. Dorman instead foregrounds the human relationship behind a deal and argues that direct buyer-seller partnerships can create alternatives to institutional gatekeeping. That differentiator is valuable, though readers should retain a realistic view of the method. Seller financing is neither universally available nor inherently equitable, and it demands careful contracts, property analysis, and professional advice. Readers seeking detailed legal templates or a substitute for local counsel will need supplemental resources. Those prepared to pair the book's ethical ambition with rigorous financial discipline, however, will find a distinctive framework for thinking about real estate as both a personal wealth tool and a potentially collaborative local practice. If you would like to support Mel Dorman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, Please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.